Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind.
Hey, what's going on? It's your man, Casting Over, with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. And first, of course, as in any podcast, I always want to thank you for everything you've done for me. The life I have today is because of y'all. And you have no idea how I appreciate everything you've done for these past 3 years have been phenomenal for me. I have reached heights in my life that I never thought I would because of your support and understanding and listening and encouragement. This podcast literally, I could say without a doubt, saved my life on many levels. So I have to thank y'all. This subject is very personal to me. So I'm going to be talking about a lot of personal encounters that I have. This podcast is Relationships and Mental Health. We're going to be exploring how relationships with family, friends, and partners influence mental health. Now, if you've been following my podcast for the last 3 years, you know that I started this podcast after I had a mental breakdown. Me and the wife got into a huge, nasty argument. I flipped out. I was unstable. I put myself in a facility for 2 days, which one, I found out that I wasn't crazy because people in there really have problems. And two, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety and sleep deprivation. I wasn't dealing with a lot of things in my life. My father passed. I didn't deal with it. My best friend at the time passed. Didn't deal with it. My business was going down as far as things I was doing. My relationship and my marriage was good. It was a lot of things. It was like a nexus of things going on at one time that just caused me to just totally break down. And it was a journey coming back. And if you have followed this podcast for 3 years, you could see my journey coming back. But with that said, an important part of my journey has been my family, my friends, my partners. I was always a person that wore my emotions on my sleeve. I was a person that relationships were very important to me. My family, my friends, my partners. Well, let me go back. Growing up, I was a product of a single mother household. Father wasn't there. Mother was 16 when she had me. My grandmother really helped raise me. From that point, my relationship with women and with men were tainted. I had very strong head women around me growing up. So a lot of that were emotional, very alpha women, but very emotional women. And I didn't have the component of developing that manly side. I was emotional. I was a crybaby. I was sensitive. And, I was coddled as far as my emotions. I wasn't a boy that was out in the streets playing and running around rough and things like that. So with that upbringing, I became emotional. And you'll see why I'm talking about this to relate to mental health. So in later years, when I started to date women, my relationship was from a certain angle mentally. I was overcompensating as a man because I wasn't a manly man, because I didn't have a father in my life that taught me certain traits of being a man, I overcompensated sexually. I thought that as a man, the only thing I could offer that was masculine was sexual relations. So all my relationships were heavy on sex. I had to be the best in bed, hence the name Casanova that stuck with me. It was an art to me. It was I'm not gonna say a challenge, but it was a goal of mine to be Mr. Sex, to be the best, to wore a woman out and be the best sexually. It was something I had to do. Now, when we talk about mental health, you know, a stigma about black men that were very sexual, and we have sexual disorders, you know, compulsive sex and things like that. But it develops from us having to overcompensate because we don't have masculine traits. As a man, there weren't things I was taught that I offer a woman besides sex. When I was younger, right, my mother and my grandmother had, well, you know, you have the birds and bees talk. They had a discussion with me telling me that they wanted me to be a good lover. And they showed me and told me things about sex and how I should be with a woman. And so that was the conversation. And a lot of single black mothers, they do that because they want you to be the man that they wanted your father to be, or they want you to be the man that they wanted and could attain. So they tell you these things to try to mold you to that idea of what a man is, because in essence, a woman doesn't know what a man should be or whatever, but they're telling you these things, and it's usually wrong. So I was told not to be a bad lover from a woman's perspective, what good lovemaking is and sex and stuff like that, because they didn't want me to be a bad lover. I wasn't taught traits of being a good man, being a good husband, being a good father. That was their level of expertise, because I come from a history of women that were not married. My great grandmother wasn't married. My grandmother wasn't married. My mother wasn't married. So I came from a ancestry of hurt women. And when it came to me as a man, I was taught the things that they thought would be good. To them, being a good lover would equate to me being a good man, because they never had a good lover in a sense. And that's all they could tell me and teach me. So I don't look at it as a bad thing. It was good intentions, but unfortunately, as a man, that's not what we need to hear. Now, was it great advice from a woman's perspective? Yes, of course, because at the end of the day, as a man, you want to satisfy a woman. And a lot of times we may get bad information. So for my mother and my grandmother to teach me things from a woman's perspective to satisfy her was a great thing as far as sexual wise, you know, to please a woman, to satisfy a woman and stuff like that. And I, not to toot my own horn, but I became quite well good at that. I've never had a problem with women, and I never had an issue with women, especially at a young age, you know, never had a problem getting a woman or satisfying a woman. And, you know, even though I've been married for 20 years, I still have people that I know that I've been with in the past that still would say I'm the best lover they ever had. So, you know, not that we're having inappropriate conversations like that with women. I'm not doing that, but, you know, just, you know, conversations, you know what I'm saying, that you just have people. So I do bless my, thank God for my mother and my grandmother for giving me those conversations. But because I overcompensated sexually, I didn't focus on relationship wise. And a lot of relationships I had were heavy sexually, but the other stuff I was lacking in, because I didn't know what it was to be a man, to be a provider, a protector. My perspective of a woman was being like a mommy. My mother, even though she was young, even though my mother was in my life, but she wasn't, she was young and she made a lot of mistakes. So my relationships would be, in essence, having sex with somebody like my mother. Not that I want to have sex with my mother, people. No. But that was the relationship dynamic that I knew and understood. So instead of being a man that was going to be protective and loving, I was a man that was looking for a mother to have sex with. If you understand what I mean. I would blow their mind sexually and satisfy them so much. But after that, I expected for her to coddle me, for her to take care of me, for her to do things for me, rather than continuing in that cycle of being a man that's going to provide and protect. So in a way, that's a mental health issue when it comes to how you're raised, how I was physically raised. And a lot of men, unfortunately, are raised in a situation where it's hard for them to learn to be men. It's hard for them to learn to be the man they have to be for the life they want, because they were never taught it. My relationship with friends was very torn, in a sense. I have never had the ability, even to this day, on a certain level, to really connect with other men. Because I was raised by women and emotional and things like that, me connecting with other guys on a level of just guy stuff was very difficult. The only thing I could connect with is with women. Like, you know, everybody wanted to chill with Cass because, you know, I got women and all that stuff. So on that, I connected. But outside of that, it was very hard for me to connect with other men because I was raised. It was difficult for me to be the one of the boys, you know, take boys trip, go out golfing, go, you know, it was very hard for me to connect. And then when I did connect, the relationships hurt me because I cared so much for friends. And when they didn't work out, it really deeply hurt me. And I didn't deal with it the way I should have as a guy. Because I didn't know. Now I'm not saying I don't have friends or never had friends. No, I have my best friend in New York. I have, you know, I have people I'm close to, but because the way I was raised, those relationships happened over time and they weren't immediately solidified as if I understood what relationships men with each other had. Not sexual. This is not no gay talk. I'm not coming out the closet, so I don't want nobody saying none of that shit, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But men have a relationship with each other. Men have certain understandings and certain things that we know. And unfortunately, because of the environment I was raised in, it was difficult for me to reach those understandings. So I probably, and I don't want to say I missed out. I'm not going to say that, but I probably have not fostered enough relationships. Well, I probably haven't fostered the amount of relationship I could have fostered if I understand these things better, if I understood these things better. I think that's a better understanding. Is even coming to my partnerships in business. You know, I have had a mental block sometimes when it comes to business. You know, when you're raised mentally to have this emotional side, you tend to take that emotions into every aspect of your life. Mentally, I am prone to being more emotionally involved because of my upbringing in certain situations. Now, I'm not saying that the reason that businesses I've been in or done or situations in business with partners have not turned out because, oh, woes be, I was raised by a single mother. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that it did have a factor in how I interact with the world. I interact with the world more on an emotional level than I do on a business level or whatever that situation is granted. I tend to look things through the emotional lens rather through the other lenses that I should be looking at. Now, nothing's wrong with an emotional approach to things in life, but that takes training and understanding. My mental is so needing of the coddling, in a sense, that I would make judgments just on that. When working with business partners, you know, I wanted more than what should have been expected from business partners. I wanted them to love what we do just like I loved it. I wanted them to see me and I wanted them to like me and to admire me and to respect me. These things I wanted rather than I earn it as a man. See, one thing I'm doing, I'm writing a book called All Men Are Meant to Be Broken. And that book is really taking accountability and responsibility for men. We have to be accountable for everything in our lives, whether it happened to us unfairly or it happened to us fairly. Doesn't matter. We have to take control and accountability. My mental health and my relationships do, and my negative effects of those relationships that were due to my mental health, I have to take full responsibility of that. I cannot use the crutch of my past and my mental health on the reason why I do things that are not conducive for me to have a positive life. I will, and I have and will always preach these last year and a half, really. Because in the beginning, as you know, I was really victim. I was a victim and everything. Everybody did something to me, but blah. And I started this podcast to rant, to complain, to have an outlet for my woe is me mentality until I developed personal growth, mental growth, financial growth, spiritual growth, emotional growth, and got to a point where I understood my role as a man. My relationships, I need to understand their complexity and the approach that is necessary and appropriate for them. I needed to reevaluate my relationship with my wife, with women in general, and to place it in the category that it needed to be in. I need to understand that as a man, I need to protect and provide for my wife. And not that I had to do that before, people. Not that my wife wasn't taking care of me for 20 years of our marriage or 10 years or two. No, I've always done what I had to do for my family. But my feelings behind it weren't genuine. Even though I did it because I felt that was what I needed to do as a man. But my feelings and my mental health wasn't behind it. It wasn't connecting. I didn't have that sense of accomplishments because I was being, quote unquote, a man, being a provider. I still had thoughts in my head of why isn't she doing this for me and things like that, instead of taking accountability for myself and what I need to do. Because in a sense, maybe I was acting. In a sense, not that I didn't love my family, didn't want to take, no, but I was acting because my mental wasn't in line with what I was doing. And sometimes we do that. You know that you do that in life. You will do something even though you agree with it, but it's for the greater good. And that's where I was, greater good. Until I started to realize through my trials and tribulations, my responsibility as a man and truly accept it. Because my relationships, whether personal, business, friendship, whatever it is, I are not reliant on my mental health status. Meaning, I cannot not be a good friend, a good husband, a good partner because my mental health is not aligned with how I should treat them. What isn't aligned and what I did need to change was me actually understanding, accepting, and believing my relationships and how and my responsibility in them. That was the learning curve. Connection is an individual thing. And let me explain. My mental health has you to think a certain way. And my relationships with those people and how I treat them is directly connected to my mental health status and how I believe those relationships should be. That's why I say it's a personal battle, personal responsibility, my connections with others. Because if I want connections, I have to act appropriately to foster and grow those connections in a positive direction, in a positive light. If I bring toxicity to the relationship, then it's going to be a toxic situation. And I have nobody to blame but myself when they fall. I'll give you an example. My mother growing up has did a lot to me mentally with her, the way she was, her teachings, her life, things I've seen has affected me. And me and my mother growing up, used to get into a lot of fights and arguments all the time. And a lot of my problems early in my life, I blamed on her. I blamed her for my relationships problems. I blamed her for my old sexualized self. I blamed her for, you know, I blamed her for a lot of things. Now, my complaints are valid. I know they're valid. And that's another thing. When you know you're valid in your convictions, or you're valid in your assumptions, or you're valid in your, if you know that you are right, it's hard to step back and say, what am I doing wrong in this situation? That's hard because you know you're right. So your reaction to being right is appropriate because I'm right. But see, as a man, I had to understand that just because I'm right doesn't make it right. Let me explain. I use my mother. My mother and me had a really rocky history and relationship. And there's a lot of things I could say my mother has done that'll make people's jaws drop. And you probably say, why the hell you even talk to her anymore? But the minute I decided to understand my mother and control the narrative, me and my mother get along fine. See, mentally, I had an expectation of my mother. And when she didn't live up to that expectation, that caused her a pain on my end. Growing up, and you know, when you're younger, there's nothing you can do. I don't have the mental capacity or understanding to understand anything else outside of how my mother should treat me. So I'm not in any way young. But when I grew up, I start to understand that my mother was a 16-year-old that had a child with no resources, no money, wasn't rich, and had a child at 16. I had my first child at 26, and I still wasn't prepared. It is 16 years later for my oldest one, and I'm still learning. So I can't imagine being a 16-year-old having a child. A 16-year-old young woman that has dreams of getting married and being with somebody. You meet a guy and you fall in love, quote unquote, and then you have a baby. He's not there. That is not a good way to start a life. The hurt, the pain connected to that. Then you have this kid that the idea of that kid was to be in a family. And now you don't have that family, but you have the kid. The kid that looks like the father or is a reminder every day of your failure not to pick right. And like I said, I'm not here to debate right or wrong. I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. But every day you have to live with that shame, with that regret. And then you're expected to take care and love that regret, that shame. And I'm not saying my mother looked at me and said, like, oh, I hate you, whatever. But think about it. You know, that's like winning the lotto, right? Take it to be redeemed and they tell you, sorry, you didn't win the lottery. But you have to hang this ticket up in your house every day and look at it. Now, it's not your fault that you didn't get the money it's there for. But every day you have to look at that ticket on your wall to remind you of what could have been. And you have to take care of that ticket. Clean it every day. Make sure it's good every day. It's a constant reminder of what could have been, what should have been. And now you have to take care of it. Now, you may love it, you may grow to love it and all. Yeah, but still, it's still a reminder. So when you parent, you're not parenting from a place of, I love my child. You're parenting from a place of, I have to take care of this child that wasn't meant to be here in this capacity. Now, I'm stuck with the reminder that I failed. And who knows how many times women relive their experience with that guy over and over, whether it's experience of they were in love, whether it's experience of a one night stand, whatever it was, you have to relive that over and over again every time you see that child. Now, I am not negating what my mother has done. I'm not giving mothers excuses to do bad by their sons or their daughters. So that's not what I'm doing, because I don't want nobody to use that. Oh, you see, he's saying that, you know, I'm bitter. See, I have a right to be bitter. I have the right to be. No, you don't. See, but just because I could understand doesn't mean I agree. I could understand their point of view. It's like, I'm not mad at my father because I understand being a 16-year-old. But that doesn't excuse what he done, but I understand. What I don't understand is later on in life, when you do become more mature and older, you can handle business better. But that's another story. Back to the relationships and mental health. Once I empower myself and change my mental towards my mother, we have a great relationship. I accepted her for who she is. I forgave her for all that stuff, and I moved on. My mother came to visit me in Florida for a month, and we didn't have one argument. It was the first time I felt since I was a kid that my mommy was here. I would go in the room, lay on my mom, talk to her. We have conversations, and it was truly a mother-son experience. Now, it sucks that I had to be 40 for it to happen, but it happened. Now, there are scars mentally that I'm never going to get over. There's scars you're never going to get over. Friends that hurt you, family has hurt you, how you react to them because of you being having mental health problems and stuff like that. So don't get me wrong. And I'm not here to talk about extreme stuff like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, all this stuff. Yes, of course. You know what? I'll wrap that up. And yes, it does affect your relationships with people, because at the end of the day, you're doing things not because you want to do things, because you have mental problems. And people that love you are going to be understanding, but you cannot expect people to always be understanding, because it's very difficult to deal with people that have mental disorders. So at the end of the day, you have to take accountability on your own and make sure you're straight, because you can't expect family, friends, and partners partners to understand your mental conditions and you not doing nothing. Now, whether it's therapy, whether it's medication, whatever, you have to take the responsibility to do something to make sure that your mental health situations or issues do not affect your relationships. So I said that, okay? Disclaimer, all right? So fine, I said all that. But you have to understand that you have to take control of your own mental. You have to identify the relationships and how your mental status is affecting those relationships. Because a lot of times we do things unconsciously in relationships. And we need to understand that our mental health is important. Our mental health sanity is important in fostering healthy relationships. I understood that I need to be a better man mentally for my kids and for my wife, for my friends, for my business partners. I needed to be good. So I had to do everything I had to do to get my mental right so I could be that friend, be that husband, be that father, be that business partner that they needed me to be. So I appreciate you listening to my podcast as usual, guys. This one's very personal. I know I revealed a lot about myself and my mother and stuff. But like I said, this is what I do. You know, I'm not telling you stuff that I don't have experienced or live by. And I want you to understand that I relate to these topics and I share these things so you understand that. So I appreciate you listening to this podcast. Go to CasanovaWilliams.com. Check me out. I got a lot of stuff going on. Go to CasanBell.com. Me and my wife, we're killing it in these businesses right now. We got a lot of ventures we're doing. Shout out to a couple of critics and all the new team members, the new critics that have joined. We are taking over the review game. So many things are going on in my life right now that I thank y'all for being part of this journey, helping me in this journey, okay? Products are coming soon. Yo, let me tell you, the whole lineup is crazy right now. But go to CasanovaWilliams.com. You can see everything on there and links to everything on there, okay? All right, people, till next time.